You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, April 21st, 2017, which means we're one day away from Earth Day. So appreciate the Earth this weekend, gentlemen. Alongside Matty Modica, Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. We have a final show for you of the week of the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's going to be a good one because hour number one, we're going baseball wall to wall. And then the 9 o'clock hour is going to be really fun because Gary Barnage, hope to talk to him, Cleveland Browns tight end, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Also want to get into the NFL draft schedule release. That comes up 9 o'clock hour. Play Is Mike Lyons toward the bottom of the hour. And then we send you home and into the OGs. And Manny Modica, I got to be honest with you. Surprised you're wearing a Bills jersey today, not a Rangers jersey.
Well, in honor of the NFL schedule, I was debating putting the Rangers jersey on, but we have Gary Barnage on the show today, so I went the football route.
I see that. I also realized that it's also the same colors, right? The red, white, and blue for the Rangers anyway. So Rangers, of course, winning in overtime last night, which means they're one game away from advancing to the next round.
That was a thrilling game, an excellent victory. You know, it wasn't an easy watch. My heart was pounding, but we got it done, baby.
All right, there you go. Hey, Corey Parson, how you doing?
Yo, buddy? What's the deal with you, Greg? How's everything going this morning?
Everything's quite well, I'd say.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm chilling. I really have nothing new to report this morning.
That's it? Nothing going on?
No. I'm just, you know, going through the schedule, looking at some of the key dates and stuff like that. Trying to figure out a couple games I can sneak to, you know what I mean? So, enjoying it, getting ready for 2017 already. NFL draft is coming up in a little bit, so I cannot complain. I can complain, but it's not going to do no good. But I'm in a good fantasy space right now.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. It's fantastic, actually.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So I want to start with the baseball. We're going to do that, like I said, from 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour. We'll do a whole bunch of other stuff and get you excited, get you ready for the weekend. I got to start here. We also have to talk about LeBron James. I guess we'll start there, right? I
mean, LeBron, we might as well start there.
It seems silly not to, really. LeBron James, we laughed just a week ago when they blew a 26-point lead in the fourth quarter. And they complain and they whine and they moan, like, what's going on here? And then then they did it, Corey.
Yeah. This is the best player in the game doing what the best player in the game does. I stopped this thing at halftime, and I was actually texting back and forth with a young lady who is a LeBron James / Miami Heat / Cleveland Cavalier fan, right? So I'm texting back and forth with her or whatever, kind of razzing her, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not even watching this. And she says to me, he's going to come back and they will win this game. And then I started getting these text messages and I was like, wow, this is really happening. And there you go right there. Triple-double classic ever from King James. You see how sports, Matt, it's like, especially when you're dealing with a situation where you have a 7-game series where it can change so fast. At halftime of that game, we had a series. When the second half was over, the series was over.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And a great stat I saw, there have been 7 40-point triple-doubles, and 2 have occurred in the last 2 days.
How about that?
LeBron and Westbrook.
Just like that. LeBron, I think Corey put it perfectly, right? Going into halftime, we had a series. Game was over. Series over. Well said, Corey.
Yep, that's it right there. Because these, you don't come back from these type of losses. You feel what I'm saying? This is a momentum, home crowd.
Got shots with this
get thing. The series 2-1, blow them out on our floor, come back feeling good, tie the series up, go back to Cleveland, and you know what? You live to fight another day. We're in this thing. Maybe we can take this thing to a game seven and we protect our home court. You blow that 25-point lead, guess what?
It's over.
Limp.
It's over.
You know, I don't care about the Washington Wizards, so.
You know, yes.
It's going to be a good series in the finals, though. Eastern Conference Finals, Wizards and Cavaliers. That's going to be fun. I'm writing off Chicago, right?
And Milwaukee and Toronto?
Milwaukee's not going to beat Cleveland.
Is Toronto going to beat Milwaukee?
I think Milwaukee beats Toronto.
Okay.
I think so. Right. I think this Milwaukee team is prime. They look good.
And as I said, we only wish we had Jabari Parker there to see how good they really could be.
Yep, no doubt. Hopefully they don't mess it up in the years going forward.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the baseball here. And actually, let's start in New York, because I think there's a lot to talk about from last night's Met game, which they fell by the score of 6-4. Like I said, a lot to take away. I'll start with the pitching. Noah Syndergaard, 7 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, only 2 of them were earned. 10 strikeouts, so you get the quality start. Throws 10 strikeouts. Throws 114 pitches. I was watching the game with a Met fan yesterday, Matt. 114 pitches on April 20th. Bother you as a Met fan?
Not really. I mean, Syndergaard is a physical specimen. This isn't a small, skinny guy. If things didn't go well for the Mets, I really didn't watch this game. I was totally focused on the Ranger game. But everything I was told on Twitter were nothing but bad things that were happening to the Mets. And the infield play was just horrific from what I was taking in. So, okay, 114 pitches, I'm not concerned.
Okay. The bullpen for Fernando Salas pitched poorly. Josh Edgen, whatever. And you get the Jarius Familia back from his suspension. Comes in the game. He knew he was going to pitch last night at some point. He does. You know, got in a little bit of trouble himself. Walked a couple guys. Did strike him out. Threw 30 pitches in his season debut. Good to see Familia back on the mound.
Good to see him back, and it was kind of like the 2016 version of Jerry's Familia. He's gonna put a couple people on base, strike a couple guys out, and hopefully get a clean. You know, hopefully allow no runs.
Okay, so on the other side of things for Philadelphia, you had Aaron Nola, 5 hits, seven hits, 4 runs, 4 walks, a couple of strikeouts, and then it gets interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, it got real interesting
because you had Jolie Rodriguez pitch a couple innings, 6 and 7. And then in the eighth, when we expected to see Hector Neris, we did it. Instead, we saw Joaquin Benoit.
This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You think I'm playing this game with y'all?
I'm just announcing it, man.
You think I'm playing this game with y'all? Joaquin Neris. You know, stole a job from my man, Jenmar Gomez.
Unbelievable.
Stolen from Jenmar Gomez.
Stolen.
Everybody's on this Hector Neris kid, right?
Yeah.
Then Joaquin Benoit comes in. He gets the job.
Blows one save.
Blows one damn save, just like Jenmar. And then they go to Neris.
That's right, just like that.
Who probably is on people's bench this week because you thought Benoit had the gig. Matt, what the hell is going on? I'm disgusted with these one category players.
That's the question I'm actually asking. I did win Joaquin Benoit in Fab. I spent $313. I edged out the runner-up who had $312, and I kind of wish I lost that bet.
He spent 31% of his budget, and he got a hold.
I was hoping he'd at least be the closer for a few months.
Not a few days.
Yeah, not a few hours.
Just like that, 31%. Kind of like what we did. We spent 13% of our budget on Jason Grilley.
Uh-huh.
That worked out poorly. 31% on Joaquin Benoit. Poorly.
And I will be rooting aggressively for Hector Neris to get blown up every time he takes the
Just like you did for Jenmar.
Yeah, that was rude.
Honestly, at that point, I really didn't have any Philly shares, so yeah. You know, I didn't care.
You know what? Now they're going with Hector Neris. This is annoying. But that wasn't the only takeaway from the game. Because we had an injury to report, and I don't know if it's a good one, because Yoenis Cespedes leaves the game, which they initially called cramping, and then they said, well, he's got a hamstring injury, and they're going to have an MRI, and Terry's not feeling so confident about this one.
This is definitely a 10-day DL coming up. I mean, it should be. Cespedes said it wasn't a cramp, he felt the shock. we can't play around with this at all. So just put him on the 10-day DL. We have that now. They said 2 to 3 days rest, so that pretty much tells me a week. So I'll just give him the 10 days.
There you go.
Remember what Dr. A said yesterday, though? With that hamstring, you got to be careful. You got to make sure it gets rest, because if you aggravate it, you start the process all over again. I'm getting better with this.
That's actually really good, Corey. And you also said, watch out for the outfielders.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And,
yep.
You know, guys of cespedous stature.
Yep, big guys fire off fast. All the power comes from that hamstring.
It also seems like he slid at home plate last night. It seems like every time this guy slides in a game,
yeah,
he winds up getting a hamstring. That's why whatever it was, the week before, a few games before, when he got thrown out standing up at home plate, he never slid. I was fine with it. I just don't want to see this guy ever slide.
You had a cespedes most likely going on the disabled list with that hamstring injury. And he's had some hamstring issues in the past. Noted. I mean, last year, he hurt, kind of in a similar type of situation. He hurts his hamstring, doesn't go on the DL, comes back in place. He had to leave like 5 games in a row with his hamstring soreness. And we're like, why didn't you put him on the DL to begin with? I have to imagine, it's the Mets, so who knows, they take better precaution this time, Matt.
I think this is a must. It's unfortunate that the series with the Nationals happens to come this weekend, so we will have no Cespedes. Gotta hope the pitching can shut them down, but that's gonna be a tall task. So I wanna urge extreme caution. Put him on the 10-day DL. Let him rest.
I completely agree. So the Mets lose. They did put up 4 runs last night. Michael Conforto. We saw Jay Bruce at first base, which is what everybody wanted. We talked about it yesterday. Jay Bruce started in the cleanup spot playing first base. Didn't get a hit. What did you think of him at first base?
I mean, if he can do it, I mean, I don't know. I know he was fielding some during spring training and stuff. If this is something he could pull off, yeah, I'm all for it. Flores could play versus left-handers. I mean, he crushes lefties. Getting back to Conforto for a quick second, the dude was killing it on defense last night. Catches against running into the wall, diving catches. Well, the rest of the Met infield was just, you know, double plays through the legs. Ugh.
Conforto yesterday was 2 for 4. Asdrubal Cabrera was 2 for 4. And that was it for the Mets. He's Neil Walker with a big blast early. Third inning, a 3-run shot off of Aaron Nola. For Philadelphia yesterday, Michael Franco goes 2 for 4. Aaron Alther goes 2 for 5. It was Tommy Joseph going 3 for 4. Of course, Franco's, one of his couple two hits, was his third home run of the season. Aaron Alther steals a base, and Odubel steals his second base of the year. Jose Reyes stole his first base, by the way.
Yeah, he had to get on base to steal it, so.
Batting seventh last night. Noah Syndergaard batting eighth. Now, do you think they bank Noah Syndergaard eighth? Not because of one of these like stupid like Tony La Russa type things, but because they think Noah Syndergaard's just a better hitter than Rene Rivera?
I think I did the small portion I did catch was one of the reasons they stated why Syndergaard was eighth, because if Reyes did get on base, he could bunt them over, as opposed to having, you know, the catcher batting in front of Syndergaard. So that did make sense.
Oh, there you go. Nice job, Michael Florio. Nice job, Matt Modica. Listening to what they're saying, which is always helpful.
I don't watch the Met games.
I know. I listen
to Michael Kay.
Nice one.
Another day. Another Eric Thames home run. We'll talk about the Brewers. Matt shaking
Eric
his head.
Eric Thames, Bryce Harper, Francisco Lindor. Rank them.
Like, on what?
On, like, who you'd rather have the rest of the season.
I'd rather have Bryce Harper than Lindor than Eric Thames.
Eric Thames is getting the conversation. Oh. He's in the conversation, Matt. He has to be. The guy don't stop hitting damn home runs.
Yeah, no, this conversation's been going on Twitter for the last couple of days. Like, where would you draft him? I know Rob Silver brought it up, and a bunch of NFBC guys were debating who they'd take over him, where he'd go. And yeah, he'd definitely be, you know, a top 20 player. I'll say that much.
We'll talk more about Eric Thames and the Brewers, and if it's ever going to stop. Coming up next, here, Roto Experts in the Morning is off and rolling on a Friday. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
video was shot in the Staten Island Mall.
Really?
Yes.
I never knew that. Oh, that's pretty cool. This is why you're here, for nuggets like that. If that was an Uber fact, I probably would have said false. I was like, I didn't even know there was a mall in Staten Island, so there you go.
You ain't missing anything.
The Brewers beat the Cardinals yesterday, 7-5, and how many leagues do you own Eric Thiemson, Matt?
I think it's four.
Okay, in four, out of how many?
Probably like 14 or so.
Okay. So, in one of my main leagues, every time Eric Thiemson gets a home run, I'm the guy that gets the text message about it. Like, every time I see my phone and it just goes, Thames, I'm like, Jesus Christ. And there's been eight of these text messages so far. Because the dude now has eight home runs on the year. 2-for-4, two runs, two ribbies last night, .415, .500 average.
Yeah, this is just, it's just insane. I know some people are trying to smear him with allegations of steroids. And even if this does happen to come true or something like that, I just hope it's not until like after the All-Star break at least. Because this guy's just too fun to watch.
It's insane. We do this every day with this guy, and he does this every day. Like, every day we talk about him.
Yeah, I was asked a question on Twitter this morning from Ray Guilfoyle. Great guy, great follow, at Roto Ray. He said, would you trade Thames for Charlie Blackmon or Ryan Braun? I said yes.
I would do that. Although, like, I'm less interested in doing it for Blackmon. I would do it for Braun. I'm less interested in doing it for Blackmon.
Yeah, but I think Blackman's going to hit like 300, yeah. 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. You know, the thing with Thames is, I mean, this hitting isn't... I mean, the average is... I think it was Chris List who posted yesterday, Eric Thames is batting .420 on .420.
Yep, it's insane. How about that? The speaking of Ryan Braun, he was over .300 last night, but that's okay, because Johnny VR was 2-for-4 with two runs scored. And how about Jeff Bandy, man? Like, 1-for-4, but Jeff Bandy, a guy that I don't think any of us knew, I don't even know who he was, but we weren't interested in Jeff Bandy. Four home runs on the year for this dude now.
Nah, let me tell you.
You gotta put your mic on, dude. You
rush. It is on.
I can hear myself talking. Nah, Jet Bandy. My guy Brian Ambos, he was on Jet Bandy back in February.
Nice job, Brian.
He was talking about Jet Bandy. Yep. Love it. You know what I'm saying? So I think I might have him in my draft champions. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a guy that was waiting. If you were waiting on catcher and you came up on Jet Bandy, get yourself a pat on the back.
Well, I just absolutely love that his name is Jet Bandy.
Oh, I love that too.
We talked about this in the spring. Cool, we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And now this dude's hitting home runs.
When we did the Roto Experts mock draft, I believe my second catcher was Jet Bandy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Well, I'm kind of torn with this, of course. In some of my earlier draft season leagues, I have Jet Bandy as like my catcher number two. But now in this, as the season has started and after Giovanni Soto got hurt, I have a couple of shares of Manny Pena, so
another good one.
Yeah, but you know, now it's like torn. Like, you know, I'm at the point where I'm thinking maybe just having both these guys start and just take the hitting at Milwaukee.
It's true. It's crazy. Travis Shaw hits his fifth home run of the year. Literally, I can't believe this guy's not batting the same amount as Eric Thames. I think he hits a home run every day too.
He hit like one of the deepest shots in Miller Park. It was a mammoth one. Yeah, I mean, they now have, between Thames, Braun, and Shaw, they're 2, 3, and 4 hitters. They have 18 home runs combined.
Holy crap, it's insane. I did read a stat, by the way. Actually, the guy that owns Eric Thames texted me this, naturally. Eric Thames has 8 home runs on the year. The Boston Red Sox have 7.
He's better than them, by himself.
Yes.
And I'm happy.
I know you are. You'd have said that no matter what.
I guess I'm a hater.
You guess that?
You know, I guess we'll talk about that game later. I don't want to jump the gun.
I appreciate it. Mm. Zach Davies, 5 1/3, 8 hits, 4 runs. He struck out 5. The save goes to Jacob Barnes here, with Neftali Feliz blowing the save the day before. They bring him Jacob Barnes in the ninth inning. Gonna be honest with you, don't know who Jacob Barnes is.
Clueless.
I have no idea what he looks like. Does he have a mustache, Matt?
Matt, does he have a mustache?
Yes, I need to know if he has a mustache.
You know what? I'm not sure. I know
he was pitching.
I'm not sure.
But I will say this about Jacob Barnes. I wouldn't get too nervous about Neftali Feliz.
You think he comes back?
He pitched multiple days before this. And prior to that Cub game, he was pitching really well. He's been hitting 100. So, and Milwaukee wants to build up Neftali Feliz's trade.
No doubt. You don't doubt.
So, I'm not really worried about this. Yeah, the Jacob Barnes guy, I'm with you guys. I'm not too familiar with Mr. Barnes.
Oh, wow. He would have told, if the Ismaele Lyon question was, you know, is Jacob Barnes a real person on the Brewers? I would have said false.
I would have said false, too.
Yeah. I would have known he was a real person, but I really don't know. I don't really know.
You will. Jacob Barnes, he's number 50, and he does not have a mustache, just in case you guys were wondering. I was wondering. I mean, oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
Do you have any more Jacob Barnes trivia?
Did you like some more Jacob Barnes trivia?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
He was born in Indiana.
Jacob Barnes. He played college baseball at Florida Gulf Coast University.
That's okay. Where, oh, the Gulfs.
That's Andy Enfield, Dunk City, right?
Remember? Oh, yeah, that is Dunk City. Yeah,
Dunk City, that's right. He was drafted in the 14th round of the 2011 draft.
2011, okay.
Made his debut last year.
Okay.
Last June. And his MLB career record is 0-1.
Okay.
He's got a 2.7 ERA. Struck out 26 dudes. 27 years old. Feel like it's a good bullpen arm for the Brewers.
Where did he hail from?
Is he a Florida guy?
He is. He's from St. Petersburg.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Probably wants to go pay. Think he wants to play for the Rays?
No, he's probably fine in Milwaukee. He probably wants to get away from the people in Florida.
I feel like he might want to play for Tampa.
Why? Why would he want to play for Tampa?
He's from St. Pete.
If I'm from New York,
you know, want to play for the Yankees?
I would not the Mets.
Well, you're not from Queens.
No, I'm not.
Exactly.
You're from the Boogie.
I'm uptown guy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So if you were from Queens, you probably want to play for the Mets.
No, I would not. I still wouldn't want to play for the Mets if I was from Queens. I don't want to wear that blue and orange uniform.
Adam Morales wants to play for the Mets.
Yeah.
So does Matt Modica.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Matt's got a good team. No, thank you, Florio.
For the Cardinals yesterday.
I had a question for Matt. Go ahead, though.
Is it about the Cardinals or the Brewers? Or is it about the Mets?
No, it was about his youth. Did you, when you were growing up, did you want to play for the Mets?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You wanted to pitch, right?
You know what? I think maybe I wanted to play center field.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't have mind pitching either. Those would probably been the two.
Who was your favorite Met of all time?
I mean, I loved Darryl Strawberry.
Yeah, who didn't? Yeah.
I mean, he was just what could have been.
Yeah.
It was very sad when he left to go to L.A.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
For the Cardinals last night.
I got a little emotional just now.
For the Cardinals last night, Carlos Martinez, 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. He struck out 7. Remember, in his last start, walked 8 dudes, struck out double digits. Guy's now 0-3 with a 4.76 ERA. We loved him after the WBC.
Yeah, he's not pitching that good.
Well, when I went on Twitter last night, and the thing I only apprehension I had prior to the start of spring training with Carlos Martinez was, well, it was two things. The strikeout rate had declined. The walk rate hadn't been corrected. That was really my main issue, was the walk rate. I thought the stuff was so good, the strikeouts would come. And then in spring training in the WB, we saw this guy put on a show. Opening night, I mean, he was lights out. He was terrific. And now he's kind of gone back a little to that. I still think he's going to be fine, but I would like to see him correct this problems he has with his control.
It's obviously become an issue here, and something we're going to have to watch going forward. For St. Louis, Matt Carpenter, it's his second home run of the year, while Jed Jerko hits his third. Almighty Diaz, his third stolen base of the season, while Matt Carpenter gets caught stealing, I believe, on a double steal. Jerko had 3 hits. Carp had 2. Nobody else had more than that. Colton Wong with a triple. Did we just talk about Colton Wong yesterday?
Oh, thank God he did something good, because, I mean, if you own Logan Forsythe, you kind of need, like, Colton Wong. Like, I got him on my bench in a lot of leagues, so he's going to have to step on up.
Yesterday, the Orioles defeated Cincinnati 2-1 in 10 innings, and I go here...
Interleague play.
In interleague play, yes. I go in the revenge game for Scott Feldman. Don't forget about that. so I go here for multiple reasons, actually. Because remember, today's a big day for Zach Britton with the MRI. We knew that. I have an MRI to get the update here. But in this game, which went, again, into the 10th inning, he had Wade Miley, which is a gem of a game. 8 innings, just 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk. Struck out 11 guys. Again, this is Wade Miley. The only run he allows, and one of the 2 hits was a Joey Votto homer in the 4th. That was it. Darren O'Day pitches the 9th in a tie ball game. Pitches the 9th inning, clean, two strikeouts. It was interesting because Cincinnati was away, was home rather, so clearly not the closer role, quote unquote, for Darren O'Day, because as we know, Buck Showalter don't pitch the closer on the road until he has a lead. We know that.
I like that.
You shouldn't. Yeah. It cost him a champ. It cost him. It cost him last year in the playoffs.
I'm not an Oriole fan. Yeah.
And then in the 10th inning, they get the lead, and who they come in second day in a row? Brad Brock, perfect inning with a strikeout, second save of the year.
Well, Brad Brock's doing Brad Brock things. I mean, he's. We talked about him briefly yesterday. You mentioned could he be one of these guys? He's been proving that. But before we, let's go back a little. Wade Miley, who started the season against the Yankees, who in five innings walked seven guys and struck out five. In his last two starts, he's pitched 14 innings. I think he's got like 19 strikeouts to like one walk.
Should I pick him up?
You should pick him up at Towers.
I don't know. I don't know if I could trust him. I mean, it's the last two starts have been really good. I have him on some draft and hold leagues, and I'm terrified to put him in.
Yeah, I don't want Wade Miley. I'm sorry. Great start yesterday.
He's on free agency.
Yeah, of course he is. That's great.
I have, like I said, I'm telling you, I have him in a couple of those draft and holds, and I'm like terrified to insert him into the actual lineup.
On the other side of things, also pitching phenomenally well is Scott Feldman. Seven innings, four hits, one run. He struck out four. The only run off him is a Jonathan Scope homer. Rossy Iglesias actually comes in the eighth with a two-inning appearance. Didn't allow a hit, walked one, struck out five of the six outs he got.
Yeah, the thing with Iglesias, I know we all want him to be the closer, but I think like his best asset for the Reds is a multiple-inning pitcher. I mean, he's done the starter role before. He doesn't have the physical attributes to pretty much withstand the rigors of being a starting pitcher over the course of a year. But me personally, if I'm the manager, I want to use this guy for more than one inning.
And you saw it yesterday, of course, with Iglesias. We gave you how they scored. Joey Votto with his fifth home run of the year. Jonathan Scope with his third. Final run comes on a J.J. Hardy single, which Mark Trumbo scored on. Not much hitting. He had a really nice pitching performance, and probably where we least expected it. I have to imagine DFS people stacked both Reds and Orioles. It's a hitter's park. You got the Orioles against Scott Feldman. You got the Reds against Wade Miley. This is a game people lost money on, Matt.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this was a pitching duel. This was a really well-pitched game that nobody saw coming.
Nobody at all. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We got a lot more baseball to talk about. We're going to the top of the hour. Gary Barnage expected to join us at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Another pitcher's duel. Texas and Kansas City last night. This goes 13 scoreless innings where Texas wins it in the 13th. How did they do it? We'll tell you next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. As we said, just going into break, the Rangers and Royals, another pitching duel where I don't think we expected this either. A 1-0 victory for Texas. Now, Danny Duffy's really good.
Yes.
So seeing him pitch 7 1/3, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 100 pitches, not all that surprising. He's off to a heck of a start here on the year. Good to see Mike Minor also do this too, out of the bullpen. I've always been a Mike Minor guy.
Why?
I liked him on the Braves. I thought he was really, really talented. He ran into like two or three Tommy Johns at this point. I think it was two. Oh, Johnny Bender's at three.
Sucks.
And to see him pitch three scoreless innings, I feel good for him. I'm always a guy that's been in on Mike Minor. For Texas, how about this, man? Andrew Cashner, who you just talked about during the break, 6 innings, 3 hits. He walked 4-3 strikeouts for Andrew Cashner. My man, Tony Barnett, he pitched a scoreless inning. I don't own him anymore. Jeremy Jeffers got one out. That was cool. Matt Bush, his first appearance as the closer, 1 scoreless inning, 2 strikeouts. It was perfect. The guy that's going to be next after Matt Bush, Keone Kila, 2 scoreless, hitless, clean innings, 2 strikeouts there. And getting the win for Texas, how we all expected, Dario Alvarez. 2 very good innings, 3 strikeouts. Bullpen was phenomenal for both teams. That's why we had a scoreless tie into the 13th.
Yeah, I mean, the Kansas City Royals offense has just been abysmal.
Not existent.
Yeah, they've been abysmal. Shout out to Bob and his Lorenzo Cain got a stolen base. So shout out to him for that. But the Texas pitching, Andrew Cashner, I know he's trying to trick me into liking him again. I won't be fooled again. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I won't be fooled again.
I just, you know, he'll have, look, he walked 4, struck out 3. I know he's, what do you call, I know he's a guy that we've all had interest in the past. I'm staying away for now.
Carlos Gomez in his fourth double of the year. Not dropping him quite yet, but getting annoyed at him.
Got the average up to 159.
Getting annoyed at him. He's on the Cam Broxton level. By the way, when we went over the Brewers, I forgot to mention, I had Broxton in my lineup, and he didn't play, so I felt good about that. Kansas City, just 4 hits total, but they were running, man. Lorenzo Cain stole his sixth base of the year already. Lorenzo Cain, he's really good, Corey.
Yeah, when he's on the field.
When he's on the field.
There you go right there.
Much money do you think he's going to make this offseason?
That's going to be interesting. I mean, that is going to be the case. I mean, is he going to be 31?
Lorenzo Cain currently is 31. He'll be 32 next year.
So that's the, I mean, if I could see a team ponying up for like a 3-year deal, if he's looking for a long, you know, something 4 or 5, that might get a little sticky based upon past health and his age. You know, I mean, he's got 6 stolen bases now, but I really don't want to pay for a guy that a big part of his game is his legs.
His speed, yeah.
You know, at 32 years old.
Absolutely. Lorenzo Cain stole his 6th base. Whit Merrifield steals his first. Raul Mondesi got caught stealing for the second time this year. And Mikey Moustakas got picked off.
Yeah, my AL-only team appreciated Whit Merrifield. He hit a homer the other night, stole a base last night.
Nice job, Whit. So speaking of clapping, you weren't doing much of that last night, Matt, were you?
When the Mets was on?
Well, sure.
Oh.
But a little bit later. A little bit later than that.
I think I know where we're going. And,
oh, yeah, I know where we're going.
And for you people out there that show those tears on Twitter, that was for James Paxton.
Yes, it was.
Your boy, James Paxton.
The funny thing about this game was the first 3 innings, the dude was...
unhittable.
He had 7 strikeouts of... 7 of the 9 outs were via the strikeout, I should say. Clarify that. I mean, and he still pitched really well. The thing was...
So I watched a lot of this game. A lot of this game. The final line for Paxton was 4 to 3, 9 hits, 5 runs. He walked 1, and he struck out 8 guys. As Matt just said, 7 of the first 9 outs came via the strikeout. And I'm going to be honest with you. Matt's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I like Matt a lot.
You were feeling good for him?
Mike Florio's my friend, and yep. I like Mike Florio a lot. I don't know James Paxton anywhere. So when he got disintegrated a little bit, I wasn't upset.
Yeah, you should be.
I wasn't upset.
That's how you got to be in fantasy. If you don't own him.
So I wasn't upset. But this entire game turned around. I know Matt was about to say this. This entire game turned around. A couple of hits, right? They allowed a run. It was no big deal. The outfielder threw it in. The right fielder. For Seattle, Mitch Haniger, he throws it in, just get it in the ball, you know, get the ball in after a single, after a run scores. Ball hits the second base bag, goes back in the outfield, another run scores, runner gets to second base, and all of a sudden, we went from right first and third, manageable one run in, to a man on second, nobody out, 2 runs in. And that changed everything.
It's a game of inches.
It really was.
Yeah, that changed everything. Ryan Healy just owned Paxton. He got 2 big hits off of him. He couldn't get Ryan Healy out when he needed to.
3 for 3 was Ryan Healy last night with his 4th double of the year.
But, I mean, what I take away from this was, look, unfortunately, we didn't want to admit it, but we knew he was going to give up an earned run sooner or later.
We just didn't think it would be in Oakland.
Yeah, no, it's like, look what they did to Yu Darvish the other night. They do this to Paxton. It's like the 5th inning, they just like magically appear and, you know, start blowing up an ace and a hopefully soon-to-be ace. So, I mean, look, the 8 strikeouts to 1 walk, you got to look at that.
Yes. Take the good. Claudio Valdez, Cesar Valdez. I don't know where I got Claudio from. is that a real person, Claudio Valdez? Let's find out. Claudio Valdez, quick Wikipedia search, so is nobody. Okay, cool. So Cesar Valdez goes 4 innings, 5 hits. He walked 2, allowed 3 runs, struck out 4. Frankie Montas did not pitch much better. But the bullpen went to work. Ryan Dole, Sean Doolittle, Ryan Madsen all pitched well, and then Santiago Casilla comes in a 9-5 game and, of course, allows a run because it wasn't a safe situation. The closers like to do that. Trevor Plouffe hits his 3rd home run of the year, while Taylor Motter, who I mentioned yesterday, 4 home runs of the year. Obviously, he's already owned in AL-only leagues, but is Taylor Motter somebody that, even with Gene Segura coming back, that needs to be picked up in mixed leagues?
In deeper leagues, yeah. I mean, he's going to have... dual eligibility, which is going to be nice. Outfield and infield eligibility. in 43 plate appearances, he's got 9 extra base hits, 4 homers, 5 doubles. The home run he hit last night was pretty damn impressive. He hit that dead red center in Oakland. You know, you don't see that happen too often. So he's a guy that, you know, in a deeper league, we're talking like 14, 15 team leagues. In a 12, you know, he's a guy that, you know, maybe pick up for a week, drop him back out, you know, while he's in the lineup. He's a, as we like to say, person of interest, watch this guy in those type of leagues.
The, you know, I rooted against James Paxton last night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But I just, you know, I didn't root for him. One guy I did cheer for last night or yesterday afternoon, that was my guy, Lance McCullers. You know, I own Lance McCullers and Joe Musgrove, and I've been pretty adamant about those two guys. So I got a text message after this game, too, and I'll tell you why in just 1 second. Lance McCullers pitches really, really well. 6 2/3, 3 hits. Walked 3 guys, which is annoying, but struck out 8. So McCullers pitched really well. Chris Davinsky comes on, gets out of a little bit of a jam in the 7th, stays on for the 8th. And then there was no Ken Giles to be found in the 9th. They just let Chris Davinsky do his thing, and he allows his first run of the year, which was a solo shot to Mike Trout in the 9th. Now, he stuck with Chris Davinsky, who finishes the game. The text message I received is, of course, from the Ken Giles owner being, who the fuck? Excuse me.
It's okay. WTF. Davinsky.
Who the F is this Chris Davinsky guy? Where the hell is Ken Giles at?
Did you tell him, you know, the dragon's just spitting fire right now?
That's what I said. I said Davinsky's just awesome right now. And Ken Giles pitched yesterday, and it's just Davinsky's really good, and they trust him. And, you know, he didn't like that response very much.
Yeah, no, I tweeted out, one of the better moves I've done this...
Glad Kennedy wasn't here today.
I'm sure you said worse.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Earmuffs.
I'm sure her mother say worse.
Yeah, I mean,
to you.
Yes.
Davinsky, I don't actually want to see Davinsky as a starter. I don't know if he'll be as effective having to go like 3 times around. He's just doing magical things right now. He's in a perfect situation. He's pitching, you know, 2 innings, 4 innings. He's giving you the innings, so you're happy that way. He's picking up saves. He's picking up a win here and there. So I really don't want to mess with this. And like I said, I tweeted out one of the better things I've done this season as far as with Fab, where 2 weeks ago on April 9th, that Sunday night, anywhere where Davinsky was available, I was able to get him. I think the most I paid was $54, some in the 30s. And that's the way you have to do it with these guys. You need to be a week ahead of the curve. Of course, this past weekend, I don't think he was available, but if he was, you were going to be paying twice that or more.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Davinsky, we talked about him throughout this week. We learned a lot about him. And everything Matt said is right. You want him in the bullpen.
I think your friend had the perfect analogy when you said that he texted you.
Yes.
If Andrew Miller was available, would you? I think that really, that sums it up. That's, I can't say it any better.
So McCullers pitches really well, as does Matt Shoemaker, finally. 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, struck out 7. The only really important blast here were 2 home runs. One of the first by Carlos Beltran, which I believe was his first of the year.
Yeah, I think it was his first
of the year. And Jake Marisnyk hits his second of the year. And that was it. That was really all the damage here. Mike Trout, of course, hits the home run. A couple of steals late yesterday against Chris Davinsky. Cliff Pennington has a steal. Andrelton Simmons has his second. And that really was it. Not much else offense going on.
I just want to give a little shout out to Andrelton Simmons. I think this guy's a 10 homer, 10 steal guy this year with like, you know, batting about the average he's got now, say 280 is part, which will help you, you know, in deeper leagues.
So there you go. Andrelton Simmons, I got to keep an eye on, I think. I got to keep an eye on. He's in the middle of this order because the order sucks. And Andrelton Simmons, you know, whatever. Sure. Andrelton Simmons.
Deeper league play.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. A deeper league play. We're going to come back. Well, let's talk a little bit more baseball here because 9 o'clock, Gary Barnage will join us. When we come back, I actually want to talk about not so much what happened last night, but I want to look to the weekend just a little bit because there's just a few minutes of baseball here left. Including, if we want to stream a pitcher this weekend, I want to know what Matt and Corey think the pitchers we should be streaming are. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning continues right after this. Before we get to some of the guys from this weekend, I do want to mention the Nationals-Braves game because we have to.
Yep.
Nationals won 3-2. And we waited with bated breath after Strasburg left this game. Strasburg pitches 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs. He strikes out 10. Good start from Steven Strasburg. And then we had no idea what to expect. Legitimately no idea. Oliver Perez comes in, pitches the one batter, 2 pitches.
Oliver Perez still in the majors?
Oliver Perez.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know what I once said on the record, I believe it was on the radio, that Oliver Perez would be the first Met to ever pitch a no-hitter?
Oh, yes.
I mean, at one point in his career, he did flash some brilliance.
Right?
You know,
like he always walked 1,000 dudes, but like I thought that he was going to put it together one night, one magical night.
Yeah, no.
One magical night in Queens. 160 pitches later.
It did not happen. So after that, who was the righty that was going to come in? And it was Coda Glover. Coda Glover comes in the 8th, 6 pitches, strikes out one guy, another guy out immediately. 8th is done. Now, who's going to come out for the 9th?
That Sean is the question. Freaking Kelly.
The man that many people believed many months ago would rule the 9th for the Nationals pitches the 9th last night. Takes him 21 pitches. Works around a walk. Works around a hit. But Sean Kelly picks up his second save of the year. He, right now, is Dusty's choice as the closer of the Nats.
He's the guy, but I also think Glover's the guy. I mean, Kelly has the upper hand right now. But I just don't. I don't see the Nationals really abusing him to the point where, like, you know, well, if you got to pitch, not even abuse, maybe that's the wrong word. But the fact that he's going to pitch like back to back nights, they were concerned about this prior to the start of the season. One of the reasons I believe Kelly was not named the starter. It seemed all obvious to everyone else.
The starting closer, to be clear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I think Glover's kind of a guy that they want to see what he can do in that role as well.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And we've seen a lot of this, like Chris Davinsky-wise, and we've seen it with Andrew Miller before. I don't think Dusty Baker is new school enough, quote-unquote, to pitch his, like, best pitcher in the 8th. Like, Dusty's not doing that. Like, he's not. That's not why Coda Glover pitched the 8th and Kelly pitched the 9th. Kelly's the guy. So if he's out there, you now know he's the guy.
I feel confident that Dusty plays, that Dusty shows his hand. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Okay, so being that we feel confident, Sunday night, Sean Kelly's available in Fab. How much percentage are we going?
Ooh, this is interesting right here because I might play this game with you right here when it comes to Sean Kelly.
I would have been 13%. 100, same thing I bid on Gurley, the same thing that went on
you're not gonna get
Brad
it.
Brock last week. That's what I'm doing.
I would go, I'd be honest with you, and I really don't play this game, but if Sean Kelly is on a wire this weekend, I think I might go 30-35%.
That's aggressive. Now let me ask you a question. Is Sean Kelly available in town?
If he is, I'm going. I don't think he is, though.
You're coming out swinging if he is.
If he is, because I need some saves, because that's where I'm low at right now. You feel it? But I knew, I'm going into the season, I knew that's where I was going to be low at. But I figured I'd be able to figure it out, you know what I mean, some kind of way or another.
Now you need saves because of Gomez?
Yeah, I played that game. So nah, no saves, no Sean Kelly, nothing like that on the YNT. I mean, these guys are smart guys. Mm-hmm. I got Jake McGee, Jason Grilley, you know what I'm saying, Tyler Clifford, you know.
Was Sean Kelly picked up this past weekend? Because that was a lot of speculation. People were trying to get ahead of the curve. They, you know,
I think Sean,
see this coming?
I think Kelly went a little while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys are on top of everything.
No. That sounds about right.
You know, we're smart guys in this league.
Just don't tell me he's on Adam Ronis' team.
Matter of fact, let me check. No, I know Ronis had Ottavino, so that's good right there. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
then
this way, you know, that's a mistake that he made.
So you're going to be aggressive. Greg is going to make an attempt, but he's not going on.
Same thing I've been on Grilly. Same thing we would have been on Brock. That's it.
I think it's tough with Dusty. I mean, he's proven this. I'm kind of with Greg on this. I mean, maybe I go 20%. That would probably... Look, I just bid $313 on Benoit, so who the hell am I? So, I mean, look, I'm not averse to Corey. It's all depending upon how you need, because if he needs saves, and this is the guy...
Not to kill anybody here. Mike Fleur, I need you to find something for me. We ran a promo all day yesterday, a shell of On Target, and Joe Pizzapia talking about Joaquin Benoit. I don't want to kill anybody, But it was just amazing that we ran this thing throughout the day. Can you find that for me, Florio?
I think I heard him talking about some of that. I think.
Because it is just an amazing shell. What did you say, Florio?
You said he's on it.
All right. My thing's low because I have to talk to both of you two idiots.
I prefer mentally challenged.
Yeah,
great. The Bravos, Ari Digiashvili pitched well, 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks. He struck out 3. And actually a good start, and it was all going well until he left the Ryan Zimmerman. So Ryan Zimmerman, 2-run shot to blow the lead in the 6th, and that was it. He's pitching really well before that.
We're not talking enough about Ryan Zimmerman.
No, we're not. No, we're absolutely not. Ryan Zimmerman now on the year has 5 home runs. He's batting .389 with a .431 OBP.
Here's the thing with Ryan Zimmerman. When healthy, he hits the ball hard. He's a good player. But he's like milk.
It's coming.
There's an expiration date on his health. So, you know, you got to drink it.
I love that.
Enjoy it. Nice, cold, and refreshing while it lasts. But it's going to, you know, it's gonna turn sour at some point.
Yep, I'm going to give you gas.
Got to give big ups to our guy, Kevin Kiermaier. He's a friend of the program. We got Kevin Kiermaier on this show.
That we do.
There's not many people. There's not many shows that are bigger fans of Kevin Kiermaier than us, yeah. I think. Right?
I'll come in with a Kiermaier jersey.
I'll buy a jersey, a shirt of some sort. Corey, are you a Kevin Kiermaier fan like us?
Yeah, I like Kevin Kiermaier also. I'll send their PR guy an email.
Kiermaier now, two for three yesterday. First home run of the year. Matt said yesterday he was waiting for the power. He got it yesterday. Off to .292 with a .387 OBP, baby! Well,
most importantly, Kevin Kiermaier a week ago was batting like .220 or less. Now he's almost batting .300.
Love him.
It's early.
Love him. Steven Souza leading off. Awesome. We talked about Souza a lot over the last 2 days. 3 of 5, 3 runs scored, another home run, 3 ribbies, .349, .438. He was the talk of both of my shows that yesterday. We were all over Steven Souza. Flores got it for us. This is what Joaquin Benoit. This is our promo from yesterday on Target.
The only fantasy advice that's always a direct hit comes from the FSTA award-winning program On Target.
Joaquin Benoit or Sean Kelly going forward?
Benoit, because they're not going to pick up another closer. Nobody's going to want Joaquin Benoit. I think in the trade deadline where Neris is going to get an opportunity. So I think it's Benoit's job now for 6 months or 5, whatever is remaining here.
On Target Fantasy.
6 months, 11 a.m. to 5 are remaining here in less than one day.
All the great programming on Twitter.
One day!
And like us.
Hey, listen, I got nothing but love for Joe Pisapia. I didn't maybe say 5 or 6 months. I was thinking of probably 3 months. So I was on the same train as Joe. Maybe not the length, but I was thinking, you know, maybe 3 months he gets.
I ain't nothing but love for Joe either because these closes are completely unpredictable. I just think it was hysterical. No, yesterday.
I understand. What
one day, Corey.
That wasn't nice.
It was like hours later.
You know what? I mean, okay, listen. Go pick up Joe Pisapia's Fantasy Baseball Black Book for 2017, Amazon.com. You know what I'm saying? We kind of just made fun of Joe, and I feel bad. So let's sell his book.
I'll tell you this. I am going to appear on Target thing because Benny's out.
Okay, that's nice.
I will 100% bring it up. I will tell him about it. I'm not doing anything behind anybody's back.
No,
it's
of course
funny.
Not.
It's
no,
funny.
It is funny. I did it too.
Like I said, I spent $313 on this guy, you know, a week ago.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right, so here we go. So yeah. Adam Ronis has Kelvin Herrera. Uh-huh. That's it. He has Doolittle and Glover, right?
He's waiting to go to Glover.
Oh, he's got Glover, so he's...
He also has Eric Thames. That son of a gun.
Adam Ronis is a pretty good fantasy baseball
player. Yeah, he's halfway decent.
Erasmo Ramirez, 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. He struck out 5 yesterday. Daniel Norris pitched worse than that. 4 2/3, 8 hits, 5 runs. Walked 2, struck out 4. Not a good start for Daniel Norris.
I like Daniel Norris. He's a guy that I thought was good as a late round spec. But this is the problem with Daniel Norris is going deep into games. And I think there's talent here, and I think at some point, I just don't know exactly when it's going to translate. So you have to be, he should only be a deep league option right now.
At this point. Okay, we got about a minute before we get to Gary Barnage on the other side of the break. If you had to give me one or two starters, Matt, that I could pick up for this weekend, who would you pick up? The one guy I've done it already, because I've been waiting on it, is Shelby Miller. I know he's facing the Dodgers, but Shelby Miller got a chance for some strikeouts. You never know.
Yeah, I would spec on Shelby Miller. All I right. wouldn't be afraid to spec.
I'll give you some more time. We'll hit the break. Gary's coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk about it some point next hour. All right, more Roto Experts in the morning, including Gary Barney talking a little draft with us. Coming up next here on the Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Matt Modica and the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman, and we are very excited to talk with the starting tight end for the team that has the first overall pick just 6 days from now, and that is Gary Barnage. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing really well. Draft is now 6 days away, and Cleveland, of course, has the first overall pick, and the obvious question is, who do you want?
I'm not even sure. I haven't watched that much of the college stuff, so I don't really know the guys. I know what everybody talks about, but that's also on the coaches in the front office. They're going to bring in somebody that's going to help the team and improve. And that's all that matters. As long as they come in and help the team, that's all that matters for me.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. This is Matt. I see you doing some really wonderful work with some at-risk youth, American Football Without Barriers, and would like to give you a shout-out for that.
I appreciate it. It's something that I'm really passionate about. Me and two of my buddies started it about 6 years ago, and we've had five great camps overseas. We've been to China, Brazil, Turkey, Egypt, and Finland. And it's just been a great time, and it's always great to be able to give back to people that need it, and just be able to see their smiles and just see how they enjoy it as well. And that's what it's all about.
Hey, Gary, how you doing? Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive. You started your NFL career with the Carolina Panthers. I was curious, you know, working and coming up with Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen, obviously one of the top tight ends in the game right now, and obviously you ended up going to the Cleveland Browns, but started with the Carolina Panthers. How much did you learn from Greg Olsen in that time that the two of you spent together?
I would say I learned a lot from him because he was a veteran at that time, and he just taught me a lot of things. He taught me great approaches to the game and how to go out and practice every day and do good in practice, better yourself in the game, and always stay ready. And I learned so much from him, and he's a great athlete, and he's a great tight end, and that's what you see. You see him doing that every day, day in and day out. And I just learned a lot of that from him.
Let me follow up on that right quick. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Greg Olsen has probably missed one game in his NFL career. He does a tremendous job of taking care of himself. Now, we've seen tight ends, you know, obviously Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert has a situation right now. Tight end in a position that, you know, the players tend to stay banged up. Fantasy guys like us, not really the best thing. But one thing you can count on year after year is the health and availability of Greg Olsen. Is that something that he, works on practices?
He definitely prides himself on that. He doesn't ever want to miss a practice, ever. Like, he doesn't want to miss a play in practice. He doesn't want to come out no matter what. He's always striving to do that because he wants to train his body for that. He doesn't want to miss. He feels like if he misses a play in practice, it's going to affect him in a game. And so he doesn't want to miss anything. And that's a true compliment to him because that's how you got to be. You got to live that way. But also, a lot of it comes down to just unfortunate things. Like other guys, they might have injuries that's uncontrollable. And Greg just done a great job of being able to avoid those. Sometimes it's just the nature of the game. You never know what's going to happen with an injury. And he's been fortunate.
Talking with Gary Barnager, of course, Cleveland Browns tight end. First and the 12th pick overall in the draft next week. And, you know, I asked you the one obvious question. Now I have to get to the second obvious question, too. Since you've been in Cleveland, you've had a myriad of quarterbacks from Johnny Manziel to Josh McCown to, you know, Cody Kessler. And right now, it's Brock Osweiler. Maybe it's Cody Kessler. We have no idea. Who do you want to be under center? I mean, do you want one of these rookies? Do you want Deshaun Watson there? Do you want Mitch Trubisky there? Like, as the tight end, who do you want to be under center week one?
Honestly, whoever's going to put us in the right position to win, it doesn't matter who it is. We have three great quarterbacks there right now, and I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to draft somebody or not, because that's on the coaches. But I just want somebody that's going to help us win and going to take everything day in, day out, and just keep getting better and keep getting better to put us in the right position to win. And that's what it matters, because this game's all about winning. Nothing else matters. So that's what we're working towards, is getting wins. And so whoever's going to help us do that, that's who I want there.
How trying is it, though? Like, you know, you've been in Cleveland for a while now, to go through all these quarterbacks and not be able to get, I guess, really under a rhythm and under like a winning streak, really, with one guy, because you've just gone through so many and so many coaches and so many regime changes. How hard is that for you?
It's definitely difficult, because you just gotta, it's hard to get on a rhythm, but a lot of it deals with injuries too, and that's stuff that's unfortunate. That's part of the NFL that you have to deal with. Last year we went through so many guys, but a lot of it was all injuries. It wasn't like anything they can control. And that's just the unfortunate part of it. But you have to be ready. That next person always has to be ready to step up and be ready to play, because that's what's going to happen. It's 100% guaranteed you're going to get hurt at some point. So I think just we had a good job of guys stepping in and doing what they can. And it's just unfortunate that we had to deal with that last year. But everybody's improving, trying not to have that happen again.
Hey, Gary, I want to take it to the fantasy aspect real quick. And I think you're, like, in fantasy, we kind of wait on the tight end position. So I think you are definitely a person of interest. You showed us a really phenomenal 2015. And I think 2017, I can see you getting back to being that red zone threat. You've been tremendous in that aspect. And I do think the Browns will get you the ball there.
I appreciate it, and that's one thing that when we're on the field, we want to make sure that defenses can't focus on one person. We try to spread it around so it takes off pressure off of certain guys and certain players. We just don't want to always be able to see the person's hitting the ball. They know that, so they stop it. So we try to mix things around, because we want the defense to be prepared to cover everybody, because it just keeps defense on the edge, and then when they have to cover everybody, then you find your mismatches.
Coming into this in last season, first year head coach Hugh Jackson, Hugh was a guy that's kind of known as an offensive mind, able to develop offensive players. We've always seen Hugh Jackson's team have real strong running games. Quarterback really was a situation that was a problem last season. But as far as working with Hugh Jackson and the kind of offensive mind he has, can you touch on that?
Oh, it's tremendous. I love the guy. He does a great job, and he's always coming up with something new, because he wants to keep the defense on the edge. You don't want them to get used to what you're going to do or have any idea what's going to happen, because they always have to prepare. And you got so many things he's going to throw at you that you have to prepare for each week, which just makes it difficult on the defense, because they have to game plan for everything, and you never know what he's going to do. And I think that's the great thing about him. And he is a genius on offense, because he comes up with so many great things, and he finds this little kinks in the armor of the defense that's going to allow us to succeed on offense. And he does a good job of figuring all that out and getting the call at the right time.
Talking to Gary Barnage here, Cleveland Browns tight end. Gary, the schedule, of course, was released last night. And are you somebody that circles games on the calendar, or do you take it one week at a time? I mean, I know how the old cliche goes, you only have one game per week and whatnot. But is there certain games you look forward to, like maybe the Steelers or the Bengals or anything like that? How do you look at the schedule? Does it matter to you?
Honestly, I don't really look at it that much. But I think as a team, we're always looking forward to our conference games. So whether it be the Steelers, the Bengals, or the Ravens, because that's what you want to do. You want to win your conference first. So I think that's what the games you're always looking forward to. And you know you got to play them twice. So you're always trying to look at those, because those are the ones you want to make sure you show what you can do against your conference.
What about the game in London? Like, how is that going to be. I know they're playing at 9:30 in the morning our time, which will be about one, you know, in the middle of the afternoon over there in London. Are you? Is that a game that you're excited for or dreading, honestly, having to make that trip across the pond?
For me, I actually look forward to it because it ties into what my nonprofit does. When we go overseas and help spread the sport internationally, we'll announce what we're doing to play games. We're going overseas and playing a game internationally, help spread the sport and bring the love of the game to another country. And I think it's going to be an interesting thing. I'm just interested in how it's going to go because I've seen they've done it for a few years now, and we haven't had the opportunity to do it. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think, and seeing how the crowds are over there. It's going to be a good time.
Hey, Gary, I'm not superstitious except for when it comes to sports. Is there like a routine a specific routine you have every Sunday that you must go through?
For me personally, since my second year in the league, I've gotten a 35-40 minute massage before every game. That's like my loosening up and everything. And then I've listened to the same songs on my iPod since high school, college, and pro now before every game. And it's a mix of different artists and different types of music. It's just what I've done ever since high school. That's probably my only routine that I stick to week in, week out.
Gary, as far as offensively going for the Cleveland Browns, when you look at the passing game, obviously this season we hope to see a healthy and, you know, up-and-coming Corey Coleman, not to mention the fact you guys bring in Kenny Britt. But obviously the big story is Josh Gordon. Phenomenal season a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Led the NFL in receiving yards. Has had some struggles. I don't want to say off the field, but has had some struggles trying to get on the field the past couple of seasons. You think you guys expect to have a Josh Gordon on the team with you guys this year?
I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. I just know we want the best for him, and that's what it's all about. We want the best for that person, and he's a great guy. I've played with him, and so I enjoy him as a person. I just don't know what's going to happen because I don't think anything's been like resolved yet, so we really don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just looking forward to letting him get a chance and see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see, of course, what happens with Josh Gordon in the future. Gary, I know you're doing some work with Sportsish as well, which to me is a really smart way to attract new fans to football. What attracted you to Sportsish?
I hadn't heard of anything that helps people really learn about different sports. If you don't know much about it, a way to give you something to some new way of learning about it and figuring out new terms instead of just hearing it. I think it's a great idea just to be able to, okay, well, I don't know what this means, but the site's going to help me explain it and they're going to help me talk about it. I think that's what it's all about, like trying to bring in new people and just give them an easy avenue of learning about sports without feeling uncomfortable, whether you go out somewhere and all the people are talking about it and you only know a little bit, but they're going to help you learn. And I think that's a good thing. Like, they think about asking little questions, maybe little simple things they explain to you, but some people don't know what those are, and I think that's a great avenue that nobody's really tapped into, and Sportsish is doing a great job with that.
Yeah, I think so too. I enjoy Sportsish. I'm excited to see it grow. I'm excited to, of course, watch you in the 2017 season, and hopefully you'll have another big year for us, for the fantasy community, of course, help your team win, because as you said, that's what matters. Gary, we appreciate a few minutes of your time, and good luck this season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you on again soon. Roto Experts in the Morning will continue to break down the NFL schedule. Corey and I are about to go head-to-head. I know that. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way next. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matty Modica, Corey Parson. Big ups to Gary Bartage joining us. That was fun stuff hearing Gary. He seemed a little frustrated by not having a quarterback. Right? A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this guy, this is a red zone weapon. We saw it not too long ago. And I think the Browns want to get back to that, to be honest with you. You know, you wants to run the ball. But once you get inside that 10, inside the 20, this is a guy that's got size. He's shown the athleticism. So he's a guy, you know, that if I will be waiting on the tight end position, and he will be a person of interest for me.
So the NFL schedule was released last night. And
that was the biggest thing that happened in sports yesterday.
Bigger than LeBron James.
Second biggest thing that happened.
Bigger than the New York Rangers winning in overtime.
Yes.
Damn you.
Bigger. LeBron James was the story yesterday, and I agree the second biggest story was the NFL schedule, right? I didn't watch it. I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't know anything about it until I came in here today. Corey, I know it was not like a holiday for you, but it was big for you.
Why? I'm a fan of the NFL.
I'm a fan of the NFL. Not,
your fandom doesn't run as deep as mine, apparently. If you can't get into this thing right here, this is the NFL schedule. You get to see your team's games. You get to see their positions in prime time. You get to figure out what you can watch on TV. But most people watch all of their team's game on TVs now. You get to see what your team's opponents. Now you know the opponents, but you see how the schedule locks up. You get to see when you can kind of play with it and guess what your team's record. For us fantasy guys, obviously Thanksgiving's a big thing. Week 16 is a big thing. Not to mention week 1 of the NFL season. This is about America's passion, the NFL. And now you get to see, you know, your team's new schedule. This is the guys you're gunning for. You get to play with it, see how their record is going to be. You know what I mean? It's a lot of different things. It, to me, is very intriguing, very interesting. And for fantasy owners, this is a big thing right here.
Yeah, there's three things with the NFL schedule that I immediately look at. I was watching the Rangers game, but on Twitter, as soon as everything was released, I was looking it up. Obviously, I'm going to check to see the Bills' schedule and look at their road schedule. And I might possibly be going back to Cali the weekend of November 19th as they play at the Chargers.
So I didn't look at anything. Like I said, I looked at the Giants' schedule yesterday when it leaked out yesterday afternoon. I saw that. All right, the first half of the year is tough. The second half of the year is a little bit easier, and they play like four teams coming off byes, which is annoying. That's it. You know going into yesterday, you know who every team plays. This is already known for months. Hell, you know where the games are. You just don't know the order that they're in.
You don't want to, if your team is going to be in London, if your
you know
team is going to a place where they never played at
you
before.
You know that already.
Different situations,
you
rivalry games.
Already.
The Cowboys got the 49ers on the schedule.
But you know
they got
that
the
already.
Seahawks on Christmas Eve. I did not know that until yesterday. You know how every schedule gets released or gets leaked at some point throughout the course of the day? It was no leaks of the Dallas Cowboys
you
schedule.
You know before yesterday who every team plays and where they play. That is a known fact by every.
But you don't know the dates of the game.
Correct.
You don't know the dates.
That is the only thing you need to know.
I
get caring about your team, like what bye week you have, right? Getting the order. I get that, right? Like you care about the Bills, you care about the Cowboys, you care about the Giants. I don't care about any other team's schedule. I do not care about a single Bills time, a single Cowboys time, unless they're playing the Giants. I don't care about a single primetime game.
The Giants
it doesn't
ass.
Mean it, just like they did last year. It doesn't
they
mean
won the division last year.
You just said kick the Giants' ass.
They won the who won the division?
You just said kick the
who
Giants' ass.
Who won the division?
You just said kick the Giants' ass. They may have beaten everybody else, but they couldn't beat the Giants last
who
year.
Who won the division?
You kicked everybody else's ass except one team.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. The fact is, schedule at this point on April 21st means nothing.
It's the NFL. They're big marketing. Everybody gets into it.
It's
the
PR,
NFL
baby,
is the
PR.
Power. The NFL is the biggest sport. Period.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Hands down.
I'm not
they can do whatever they wanted to. They could have dropped this. They dropped this thing last night in the middle of the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
And guess what?
Probably
beat them in the ratings.
Again, I don't disagree with any of that. The NFL is the biggest sport. My thought is, we know all the information. Who cares? I'll worry about the schedule in August.
I'll tell you why everybody cares. Because, I mean, like the NFL is king. Fantasy football is king. And people, like you say, what do you care about the schedule? There's a ton of people that are looking at weeks 13 to 16, stuff like that, you know, those final few weeks for their fantasy purposes. People like to do that.
Oh,
I personally want to see the Thanksgiving matchups. I love Christmas Eve football that whole weekend. I'm so happy that Saturday the NFL is doing not one but two games. So that gets me jacked up. And, you know, it's just fun to see it. It really is.
I just can't get into something that literally is 5 months away. I can't get into something that we don't even know what teams are good yet. We have no idea. So people are freaking out about, oh my God, we're going to play this team. They may suck.
It's a good exercise, though.
But you know what this is? This is the appetizer for next Thursday. This is to get everybody back in. Like, hey, we're back. We got the draft. We got a draft a week from tonight. And I think it's perfect. I mean, I think what the way they're doing it, the setup for the drama of next weekend, it's perfect.
Did you watch this last night?
I did not watch it. But no, but I followed it when it came out on Twitter. I mean, I was watching the Rangers game. But when it came out on Twitter, I looked immediately at the Bills schedule. I saw that. I mean, I was pretty stoked when I saw they're at the Chargers. I'm like, you know what? I think I might go to this game.
There you go right there. That's fun for him.
Say the team again, Matt. The what team against the Chargers?
Bills.
Right, your own team. So you care about your own team. You briefly looked at it. Oh, all right, cool. I can take a trip. Fine. Got it. It's in December. You want to go to San Diego. I get it. I looked at my team's schedule as well. I don't care about Buffalo's schedule. I don't care about Dallas's schedule.
Okay, well, I'll say this. Like, a place I haven't been, I should have went to when I was living in Chicago. Bad move on my part. It's like, maybe I want to go to a Packers game just for like that weekend experience. I think that'd be really cool. You know, it's kind of like the holy grail for like football. So maybe you want to check out the Packers home schedule. I'm just trying to make, you know, things up.
Yeah, I know you are. Okay, so if you go to ESPN right now and you click the little NFL tab, okay, their biggest story written by John Clayton, who does not have a ponytail. The biggest story is ranking the best games of 2017.
That's an awesome thing to do right there.
Number one, you have no idea how these teams are going to be. Number two, the Steelers and the Patriots play every damn year. Ranking the Giants and the Cowboys in here, two teams that play twice a year, every year? Cool! You needed to wait until the schedule was released to tell me that? This article...
We got dates and times now.
By the way, this article was probably written 6 months ago when we found out who was playing who.
It's no dates and it's no times.
All they added in was the date and
times. It's no dates and no times. The Cowboys played the Broncos in week two. What did everybody think that was going to be? The Cowboys versus Tony Romo. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's not the case right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's games on this schedule. You know the Oakland Raiders are going to be the up-and-coming team everybody wants to see. It's revenge games. It's rivalry games.
You know that already.
Nah,
you know they're playing these games.
You like to see the dates and the times and stuff like that.
Who
plan
cares?
Out your fall. People that care about the NFL.
Wait. Hold on. In all honesty, Corey. In all honesty, you're talking about plan out your. You know, your...
My fall is going to be here, and I'm cool with that.
You're planning out your fall is what you just told me.
Yeah,
you're planning out your fall. Okay, so number nine. On the NFL's most intriguing games, when John Clayton, Houston Texans and Tennessee Titans, Week 13. You plan around your fall around that?
It's going to be a good game. Okay,
you can plan your fall around that.
No, I'm not planning my fall around that. Right. That's going to be intriguing.
All right.
Two up and coming teams in the AFC.
Plan your fall around it. Okay.
What?
The Rams and the Eagles. Let's do that. You want to plan your? You want to plan your fall around that?
The Rams and the Eagles.
Yeah.
What? Don't you have the last year's two number one draft pick quarterbacks in that game?
Sure.
There you go, right there.
You're creating a storyline. Fine.
The development of those young quarterbacks.
Oh, get out of here!
Oh, stop it. Well, why is Dallas and Washington playing on a Thursday night on NBC?
And it's not Thanksgiving.
And it's not Thanksgiving.
Because NBC has the half a package, half the Thursday.
Oh,
package.
I didn't know NBC had half of it.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
that's new.
I'll say one thing.
There you go. That's interesting.
Not new. They had it last year.
To Greg's point,
had last year
half of it. CBS and NBC split it.
Who was calling it for NBC? Not the Football Night in America crew.
Oh yeah,
they did.
Mm-hmm. Al Michaels split it with Sirico, but Chris Collinsworth called it all.
Okay.
Well, to Greg's point and to Corey's point, the other thing I looked at. And like Greg said, we don't really know who's... We have an idea of some teams that are going to be good, but who's really going to be good and all that stuff. But I did go look at the Monday night schedule, because, you know, ESPN put it out there. And ESPN usually gets, like, dogged with these games. And without knowing pretty much...
anything.
Yeah. It looks like they got some good matchups. I think they screwed up week one. Why, like, the second game, why aren't the Chargers home? in L.A. versus the Broncos as opposed to going to the Broncos.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that I didn't get. You know, the new team in L.A., let's, you know, celebrate it.
Correct.
Yeah, yada, yada. But from what I'm seeing here, it looks good because usually the Monday night games, the schedule they just get. You know.
Well, no, but that's true and not true in that, like, they got a schedule and they don't have the ability to flex anything out. So these late season games, which look good, are terrible.
Mm, yeah, that's true too, but, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like that every season that they just
This is a big thing. You don't like it doesn't mean it's not a big thing.
I'm just describing why I don't like it, though.
I don't.
You do understand, thank you.
Yeah, I understand a little bit of it. But you don't have the level of fandom that other people do.
I have the level of fandom. I just don't
think I disagree with it.
I just don't need to be a PR firm for the NFL.
Well, you kind of are.
How am I?
You just talked to Gary Bonas.
That was for our purposes. Yeah. Not to promote the NFL. Promoting myself.
But the NFL is giving you a taste of what's to come next week. They're getting you back into it. They're setting up the stage.
There you go.
For the draft. And I think they do it brilliantly.
Corey, are you surprised that we're open up with New England KC Thursday night?
I thought it was going to be New England Atlanta. Yeah.
Is that game in New England?
Yes, that game's in New England. Which one? The Atlanta one?
Yes.
The Atlanta one is in New England. Both they open in New England. The Atlanta one is in New England.
So why? Yeah. So that's on Sunday, October 22nd. Why do you think they're opening with Patriots Chiefs rather than Patriots Falcons?
I don't know. That's intriguing right there. Why they would do that? I guess it would have something to do with
because last year they opened with a Super Bowl rematch with Denver and Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think it's better that they wait. I don't like that first game being the Super Bowl rematch.
I love it.
The reason I like it better in like the middle of the season, these teams are more formed and everything. I think I just saw that game. I don't want to see it. I don't want that to be the first game of the year. I think the Chiefs Patriots is a hell of a game. I'm really excited for that.
Was that the AFC Championship? No. That wasn't the AFC Championship. Could have been the AFC Championship.
Patriots will blow them out.
The Patriots are going to blow them out. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. You know what I mean? But that game is going to come with storylines also. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, I'd much
rather have seen, the Super Bowl rematch like we saw last year, like we saw with the Mets and the Royals. Like, that was freaking awesome when that happened. I want to see that every year.
I agree. I think the season should have started with Atlanta and New England. My Cowboys go to Atlanta. They go to the Mercedes-Benz and to the new stadium in the month of November. So that was something I wanted to see also, try to see what's up with that. Want to see the primetime games for your team when they're in that big spotlight. And then obviously you want to see Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is important to us fantasy guys. That's an important day in fantasy football. It's the beginning of the stretch run.
I mean, I agree. I Thanksgiving and football are just synonymous with each other. It's just a great day. I love this 8 o'clock game that they added, and they put Giants at Washington. That's a great matchup. So I mean, I'm ready. I got a text like I mentioned the other day on like Tuesday. All this, I had no plans of going to Vegas for the NFFC. Now I'm going to Vegas. I'm doing two leagues on Thursday. In between that Thursday night game, I'm ready.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. I do want to talk a little bit more baseball with Matt. We'll talk more football as well. We'll talk LeBron. Hopefully your stuff. 9:45. We'll wrap it up with his Mike Lyons. Stick around. Road to Experts and more continues right after this. Hanging out here on the Road to Experts in the morning. Corey Parson, Manny Bodica. Greg Sussman, a little NFL schedule tip for you. Matt complaining during the break. The Bills only have one primetime game against the Jets.
Yeah, that's not. I get why they only have one primetime game, and I'm fine with that. I just don't want it to be against the Jets. That's
why?
It's every like the last three seasons, their one primetime game is Thursday night versus the Jets.
Well, at least you're not opening against Dallas in Dallas every effing year.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's just, you know, let us play somebody else. Like, I would have been cool, Bills at Chargers Thursday night. You know,
well, I know they do like to do the division games on Thursday night. Yeah. But yeah, hey, to me, at least as a complete unbiased fan here, I'd much rather have the Bills versus the Jets than the Bills versus like the Dolphins.
I'm like, I'm just glad Rex Ryan's not coaching the Bills, so I guess that's a good
Sean McDermott! Yeah! Yeah.
Doesn't do nothing for me. So it doesn't.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm more interested to see what the Buffalo Bills are going to do in the draft.
It better be a wide receiver. That's all I can tell you.
Hey, 1 week from today, from yesterday, actually, is the beginning of the NFL draft. And of course, we're going to have you covered all weekend long. We have a draft special Thursday night.
A lot of things going on. You know what I mean? Draft special coming up Thursday night. So it's going to be good times right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we introduce you to the fantasy football stars of tomorrow.
You have draft coverage all weekend long. Corey is running that whole thing. It's going to be awesome. Very, very excited about it. We're going to get some clips out quickly. All right, Corey's going to be sitting right here during the draft. So if you want the fantasy spin, there's nowhere else to go with Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
That's it. I mean, if you do, you'd be making a mistake and you'd be wasting your money.
Having it on lockdown.
Yep.
The, of course, NFL draft is next weekend. I do want to get back to LeBron quickly here. LeBron and the Cavs, a 26-point deficit they overcame last night, Corey.
Yeah, no, big stuff like that last night. This guy is so tough to beat. He's so tough to beat, LeBron James. So this is a situation where the Indiana Pacers, they really had a chance. Paul George playing very well. You almost kind of feel as if Paul George deserves better. But when LeBron and when he gets going and he decides to take over a basketball game, Cleveland walks away with a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron just, he's the man. I have to say, I mean, I know he was the evil guy. He was the villain for a year or two, but I think that's all gone. I mean, when you watch him, you're watching greatness. You have to appreciate it. You know, just drink it in, enjoy, and don't be a hater.
Don't be a hater. Hate the game. Rangers tomorrow, Matt.
Saturday night, the world's most famous arena is going to be rocking. I'll be peacocking. I really do want to go to this game, but I'll probably just be peacocking it on NBC. But regardless, I just, you know,
can you watch it in your house, or you got, or can you stomach? Do you have the stomach to go out to watch this?
I do enjoy it in my house. I do enjoy watching the, you know, especially a game of this magnitude.
Yeah, last time I had a big Dallas Cowboy game, I was out of town, so I had to go out to watch it. They lost the game. About a second to last time they had a big game in January, they lost that too.
Sorry.
What are you apologizing for? What are you apologizing for?
They lose.
They lost to the Green Bay Packers, not on a Hail Mary, on a field goal.
Yeah.
Now, Hail Mary would have been an embarrassment. And none of the damn plays was on a boat the week earlier.
Now you know about.
You're right.
They might have been. They just did it right.
Then you're right. They kept it to themselves.
Exactly. That's fine.
With Trey Songz.
That's fine. Hey, Matt, all right, I've given you like 40 minutes now to find me pitchers to pick up for this weekend. Have you succeeded?
Oh, I haven't. I was old.
You're that guy.
Gary Barnage and NFL draft stuff. We can take a quick look, though. We can lock this up.
Just quick look.
Pretty quickly. I mean, you want guys for today? Can you pick them up today?
Can't pick them up for today.
Okay, so let's skip past this one. Let's see who we got, who's people we want to maybe keep an eye on.
Who's in San Francisco? San Francisco's in Coors, right?
Yeah, we want to avoid that.
I'm pitching against the Padres.
Dan Straley.
What do you think about that?
Versus Jared Weaver, your boy.
I like that. I know someone picked up Dan Straley previously against me, those bastards. Dan Straley.
Oh, a guy we mentioned.
He's not available.
We were talking about. I mean, I think like an AJ Griffin's on Saturday is probably like one of the top options. Ariel Miranda at Odaco.
Yeah, he is facing me this week.
Oh, he's facing you?
Yes, that's bad.
Okay, so you're
we don't like.
So, I mean, the way the Royals lineup looks right now, he's a guy to target on Saturday. Is it Sunday that we have Jesse Chavez at home, which is another thing I like, versus Toronto?
That's available. We can do
that. So, I mean, those are looking, at a quick glance, my two top options here. I'm just not a Dan Straley guy. I know he hit the Mets for five innings, but look at the Mets offense lately.
And it's going to be even worse without Cespedes.
You don't need to remind me.
I did.
Cooley's just giving us the headlines from this morning, which has, of course, Yoenis Cespedes going to be out for a little while with a hamstring injury to be reevaluated today, and Terry Collins is concerned.
And real quick, I mean, the guy, for some reason, I think you really do need to spec on if you can. I mean, I wouldn't get fully invested in this guy, but I want to see what Shelby Miller does over these next couple of starts. I am interested. I am intrigued.
So how would you rank these guys who are available in my league? Because it's all about me, Corey. Shelby Miller, Jesse Chavez, AJ Griffin for this weekend.
Okay, is this just for this weekend, one start, or long term? It would be Shelby Miller would be number one. For this weekend, you know what? The fact that he's home, for I'll go Chavez, Griffin, Miller.
Chavez, Griffin, Miller?
I'm taking Miller for the season.
You told me, quote.
Well, I want to keep him for the season. I want a long term, I said, you know.
Yeah, but I paid Miller up for this week, too.
I don't think it's that bad of a move. I think this is a guy that's going to turn some things around. I think this is a guy, you pick him up today, he's not a guy you got to, you know, I think Miller and Griffin are more matchup plays. Griffin and Chavez are more matchup plays. I think Shelby Miller has a chance to turn things around, show us, you know, past promises that he has. I don't think he was as god-awful as he was last year.
All right, so you said Chavez, Griffin, Miller?
Chavez and Griffin are pretty much a split. I'll give a slight edge to Chavez.
I'm going to have to pick up one of them. I'm going to figure out which one.
I prefer the Angels Stadium.
All right, I like that. I like where your head's at there. Corey, do you have an opinion on this?
Not really.
All right. Let's get to his Mike line then. The two of us, maybe we should combine forces to try to take down Modica.
No, I'm riding solo.
Wow. I see what kind of team player you are.
No, I'm not. I'm riding solo. I want to get the W. I'm in dire straits. I need a W.
Yeah. Same. I'm going to have to take both of you down now myself. It's Mike Lyon next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
I need to get mine.
Corey needs his me time.
Yeah, fantasy executive needs his me time.
Final few seconds, minutes of the program. Up next, it's the OGs. What's going on with the OGs today, Corey?
Coming up today on the OGs, we're going to have a fun program today on the OGs. We'll get into and break down the NFL schedule a little bit more, not to mention the fact our buddy Michael Rathburn will be joining us. He has a new DFS book out, so we'll discuss that. We'll get some DFS plays for the night at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time this morning on Old School Fantasy. The vice president and curator of the Negro League Museum, Dr. Raymond Doswell, will join the program. I always wanted to discuss and talk like the Negro League.
Yep.
I want to compare some of the Negro League greats to kind of how they would be today. Like, we talked on Old School that one day, Matt, about how, Jackie Robinson is, today's Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So, I think that'd be fun. And then, of course, Scott was at the ballpark this week, so we'll get some at the park in there also.
You got a stacked show. A
lot going on, you know what I'm saying? A lot going on.
A lot going on indeed. But right now, it is time to play Is Mike Lyon. Good morning, Michael Florio.
Good morning.
How are you? Did you enjoy talking to Gary Barnes this morning?
Yeah, I thought you guys did a great job. It was a lot of fun.
Did you enjoy the NFL schedule release party last night?
No, I did not.
He's okay. A Bills fan.
All I did was look at the Bills schedule, say, wow, they have a tough schedule. It's going to be another long year, and I moved on.
That's why you're my guy. That's why you're my guy. All right, Matt, as the champion, you decide where you'd like to go in the order.
I'll go last.
He'll go last. Which means Corey Parson will lead us off with question number one.
Eric Thames leads all qualified hitters in OBP.
Eric Thames leads all qualified hitters on base percentage. See, this Florio is tricky.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? I'm going to say that this is false.
It should be true, but it's probably false. I'll say false as well.
Well, I know he's got a 500 OBP. Mm-hmm.
He's got a 450 average and a 500 OBP.
You know what? It's because these guys went false, I'll go true.
The champ goes down 1-0.
Yay!
Don't get so excited. I was off quite a few points earlier.
He had a 500 OBP on the dot. One player has higher.
Corey, you went first. You get to guess.
Who that other player would be?
Yes.
Higher on base percentage than Eric Thames right now. Zach Cozart?
No, Zach Cozart is sixth in OBP.
Good guess,
that,
man.
That was a nice guess.
A great guess. Who the hell is a 500 OBP? Oh, my God. Who is he? Oh, God, what's a stupid player's name? Oh, we talk about these schmucks every day. It's not him. It's not him either. I know this too, which is so annoying.
You're taking a long damn time.
Enough! All right. I'll go with Nolan Arenado, which isn't right.
Oh, that's a good call.
It is not.
You know what? I don't know if this is right or not, but I just want to say the guy's name. Ryan Zimmerman.
I thought about him too.
Ryan Zimmerman is not correct. He is 12th.
Yeah.
Nolan Arenado was 13th.
Do we get to go around again?
Do you have another answer?
I mean, I feel like it's easier than we're thinking. On base percentage, hot players to start. Zach Cozart is. It's either one or two guys.
Okay. So I have one name.
I just don't know if I'm going to pick the right guy.
Okay.
Do I go with my heart? Or do I take the educated guess?
Go with your heart, man. Because you'll be more pissed off if your heart was right.
You're right. Bryce Harper.
That is correct.
Yeah!
See, there you go.
Fantasy executive.
There you go.
Way to go, Corey.
Who was the other one you were thinking?
Avisel Garcia.
He is fifth.
Okay.
Corey was all over this question.
Corey is ready.
Corey was all over this question.
And third is another Corey Parsons guy. It's Freddie Freeman.
There you go right there. I'm a Tout Wars guy.
Corey was all over this. All right, Corey up 2-1 on me. Matt's got 0. We go to question number 2.
Lorenzo Cain leads all hitters in stolen bases.
We talked about this earlier.
False.
Ooh, Greg said that false with authority.
True.
He has 4. Oh, Lorenzo Cain stolen bases. I'm going to say false.
This is false.
Yeah.
So because I know he has 6.
He has six,
and I know a bunch of players have 6. So I just assumed that somebody had 7 or 8.
One player has 7.
Yeah, one person has 7. I haven't checked on this guy in a while. I know he had a lot early. Two guys coming to mind.
Ooh, two guys come to mind for me too.
I'll go with two guys come to mind. I hope I get the right one here. I'll go with Eduardo Nunez. He's my gut.
No.
Oh, yes, because I was going to say Nunez.
Nunez has 5.
Oh, so he really hasn't stolen a base in two weeks. Because I haven't looked at him in 2 weeks, so I just assumed that maybe he had 5 early.
I think this guy has 6. I can't say. You know what, Jose Altuve?
He has 6.
Yeah, he has 6 too. I knew that.
All right, there's one guy with 7.
Yeah.
Corey, this is a big one for you.
Do I go with my heart?
Go with your heart. It worked last time.
Or do I go with...
Go with your heart. It worked last time.
I'm going to go against the heart this time.
That seems silly of you.
Because I don't think my heart is like this guy hadn't had a stolen base in a couple days.
Okay.
My analytical mind is like this guy may have stolen some bases this week.
Who is it?
Jose Peraza.
No, he has 6.
Damn. He has 6, you're right there. All right, I'll go next. I'll just go around one more time. I'll say Billy Hamilton.
That is correct.
Oh!
So those are the two guys. I was between Hamilton and I was between Nunez before. So now I'm glad.
Corey, is that your heart?
My heart was Brett Gardner.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he's still on 5, though.
I'm glad Hamilton got all the way back around to me, which is cool. All right, Corey and I are both tied at 3.
I got the goose.
Matt Modica, 0 as we head to question number 3.
Chris Sale leads all qualified pitchers in Ks per 9.
This is my question.
It's
Matty Mose.
I'm going to say false.
Corey?
Chris Sale.
Do I go with the heart or the analytic mind?
Chris Sale leads all qualified pitchers in K to 9. I'm going to say this is false.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to say, sure, he's been outstanding.
He has been. but Corey Parson takes the lead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I get on the board? I need
that. All right, you got on the board. I got zero. Matt, has more. One player has a better K-9 ratio. Who is it?
Luis Severino?
No, he is fourth.
Corey?
Should he go with the heart?
I combined.
My analytical mind. Strikeouts start the season. Not Chris Sale. Is it K-9 to start the season? Michael Pineda?
No.
Danny Salazar?
Yes.
Nice one.
Oh,
nice
one. Drake gets the point back.
Get the point back. There we go. Corey and I are tied at 4. Matt has 1. We head to question number 4.
According to UberFax, a car going 5 miles per hour over the speed limit is more likely to cause an accident than a car going 5 miles below the speed limit.
Corey?
True.
I say false.
I'm going to say false as well.
Yeah, it's false. Apparently, you're more likely going 5 miles under
yeah.
than over.
I think I knew that one. All right, question number 5. I have a 1-point lead over Corey and a 2-point lead over Matt.
Jason Vargas has the lowest FIP amongst all qualified starters.
True.
False.
See, when you get to the FIP stuff, you lose me. I'm going to say false.
So Matt said true, the other said
no,
false.
No, I said true,
okay,
the other
sorry,
guy said
sorry,
false.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Greg, you should have said false.
All right.
There's one guy with a lower FIP.
I'm right there, man, though. And I go first this time. I will go with Amir Garrett.
No.
Okay.
Although I was going to say this guy, but after what happened last night, I'm going to say Chrisell.
No.
Okay.
Chrisell is third in FIP.
Corey?
FIP. Give me a second, Greg.
Well, you only have like 4 minutes left, man.
Brandon Finnegan.
No.
A better FIP. Jesus. I will go with Clayton Kershaw.
No.
Okay.
Kershaw's actually 19th in FIP.
Thank you.
Terrible year for him, right?
Awful.
In FIP. I know this is wrong, but I'm drawing a blank. Noah Syndergaard.
That is correct.
Oh! Pull that out. What is the score, Mike? Is we're halfway through.
5-4.
That was the hurt.
5-4-4?
5-5-4.
5-5-4.
Matt has 4. You
is coming
five.
Back really quickly. Question number 6, Modica.
The other side of things, Matt Shoemaker has the highest FIP amongst all qualified starters.
I don't even
starters.
Know what FIP means.
That's a good one. That is a good one, my friend. I will say false.
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 It is false. He has the second highest FIP.
Matt?
If you guys get this one, I'll be impressed.
He has the second highest FIP. Who has the highest FIP in baseball?
Yeah, 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I don't think you guys are going to get this one.
Yeah, I don't think so, neither. Ricky Nolasco.
No.
Yeah.
Corey?
Jared Weaver.
No.
Bartolo Colon.
No.
Okay, who was it?
Tom Kohler.
Oh, whatever.
Oh,
Question number 7.
That's why I threw it like Nicky.
Ryan Shimp has the highest walk rate of all qualified hitters.
This is this guy right here.
Whack. Whack.
False.
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 True.
All right. Question number 8.
According to UberFax, there is a Cheeto-scented perfume.
Oh, that's true.
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 How did you guys know this so confidently? That is true.
Just it sounded too disgusting to be false. Number 9.
Eric Thames leads all qualified hitters in home run to fly ball rate.
It's gotta be true. True.
False.
False.
Corey takes the lead.
I yes. said false, though.
It's higher. It's higher. All right.
So
how many people are ahead of him? How many people are ahead of him?
One player is ahead of him.
I will go first here. Okay. One person is ahead of him. George Springer.
No.
Chris Davis.
Yes. Wait.
Chris Davis with a K.
There we go.
Damn it. You are so confident.
53.
Corey and Matt tied.
53.8.
Well, I'm 1 point back. The final question goes to Corey Parson.
Aaron Judge leads all qualified hitters in hard hit rate.
This is false.
False.
True.
Florio?
Oh, I thought you were going to answer.
I said false. What were
Sorry.
I said true.
It is false.
Okay.
I had it.
Corey, if you get it right, you are the champion.
Two players have higher.
Two players have higher hard hit rate. God, I just heard this yesterday. Eric Thames?
No.
Miguel Sano?
No.
Travis Shaw?
No.
Ooh.
Kevin Kiermaier?
No.
Giancarlo Stanton?
No.
Christian Yelich?
No.
Your winner and new Miss Mike Flying Champion! It's a fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
There you go. So I win this every week.
For Matt Modica and Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. The OGs are next. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll see you at 8 a.m. on Monday. Bye-bye!